Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Jacob Sweary on the show for the first time. It's really great to get to know Jacob. He's definitely a young, hardworking individual starting a guide business for himself. He's popular on social media and YouTube already at a young age, which is fun to hear about in the interview. And, you know, the fishing industry, just like any industry, can always use more young, hardworking individuals that are coming in and kind of pushing the industry forward. Jacob is certainly that. And I just think this is a fun, great interview to celebrate somebody like Jacob. He's very thoughtful in building his brand, and he's working hard, and he's definitely a fish head. Even at a young age, he's a multi-species guy, and we get into the fishing here towards the end of the conversation. He's got some great insights on spring walleye fishing. So let's get into it here. New guest, Jacob Sweary. New fishing regulations on Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota have walleye anglers excited to plan your next fishing vacation over there. Check out the lodging options over at Chalet on Mille Lacs. They have all you need and more. I'm talking about multiple private shorelines, including a back channel where you can safely park your boat overnight, a great feature you're not going to find everywhere on the lake. There's also a game room, high-speed Wi-Fi, you're minutes away from the casino and golf course, the indoor and outdoor amenities of the Chalet on Mille Lacs epitomize comfort and convenience with 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, that's 2 masters, a large kitchen, all the indoor amenities that are perfect for large groups or multiple families. This cabin comfortably sleeps 8. You can add more if you like. Read the reviews online from past guests on the website or book directly at chaletonmillelacs.com. That's chaletonmillelacs.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Zuloff Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. With a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products, that's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zuloff Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zuloff Construction at their website, zuloffconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast.
So, obviously, growing up, you know, like most of us, someone in the family member, which was my dad, so he used to have, you know, as far as I could remember, basically, we had a cabin out on a lake that was, you know, 30 minutes or so from our house in town. So, you know, we'd go out there every weekend, and I used to fish off the dock every morning. I'd be up at, you know, right at sunrise down there by myself when I was, like, I don't even know, probably like 8 years old or something like that. Maybe you shouldn't even let me been down there by myself. I had to wear my life jacket.
It was a different time back then.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's where it really started, was at the cabin every week, you know, every other weekend or whatever, just being able to go out, fish off the dock, and then it kind of evolved from there. You know, we had a small little bass boat that we used to fish out of, and my dad would take me and my brother out, and we would, you know, always beg for him to bring us out there so we didn't have to fish off the dock any longer. We always had this one little rock spot that we would go to just religiously, literally every time we went out. And there was always fish to be had there, which was pretty awesome. And then, you know, as time got on, you know, I got into the neighbor's paddle boat. So we got a paddle boat around the lake for a little while, get my leg workout in every morning. And then eventually I got to the age where in Minnesota here, that's where I'm from too. So kind of backstory is southern Minnesota here. to the age where you can get a boater's permit. And I think you can get a boater's permit here at like the age of 14 or 15, or it's pretty young. So then I kind of started tinkering around with that small bass boat. And I mean, it just kept evolving from there, really. So Southern Minnesota is where I grew up. We fished there's a ton of lakes around here. But we had that cabin. And then it kind of, as soon as we got into, you know, once I could start driving, that's, I think, when things really evolved for me, you know, having the freedom to go out and fish anytime, anywhere, any place kind of deal. You know, I used to fish the river like every day after school once I could drive. And before that would happen with buddies that could drive that were a little older than me. And I eventually, I played sports growing up quite a bit, and I eventually stopped playing sports just because I wanted to fish so bad all the time. I felt like spring baseball was taking up all my good fishing. So I ended up stopped playing sports and then just kind of went freak mode in the fishing world by myself and with a bunch of buddies too that would want to come out. And then we eventually moved out onto a lake out in the countryside, not far from our cabin. And so I had a pretty fortunate childhood being able to now live on a lake and have access to a boat where I can go out every day after school and high school and, you know, go fishing every day. So that was huge. And I think what kind of made me the angler that I am today is just having that access at a young age.
Were you always like a multi-species guy? I mean, it sounds like you're an opportunist.
Yeah, so Southern Minnesota here is, it's, the walleye fishing is super tough. So like, I mean, you can go out, you might catch a couple fish here and there, but you maybe catch one or two fish. So you're not catching limits of walleyes down here. The walleye fishing is pretty poor in Southern Minnesota. So yeah, I mainly grew up bass fishing. That was my huge thing. That's what I did. I would, you know, we would dabble into the walleyes in the springtime when it was good, but come summertime, they're pretty much impossible to catch down here anyways. We did start doing, once we could start driving, we started doing a lot of trips too. And that's kind of what got me into the multi-species more so. So we used to go up to Mille Lacs, like, I don't know, every other weekend, probably at the end of high school there, me and a couple of buddies, he had a cabin up there. So we'd go up there up to Mille Lacs and we'd catch all sorts of walleye and smallmouth. You know, we'd go pike fishing. It didn't really matter. Pretty much anything that tugged on the line is, you know, tug is the drug for me. I like anything that'll fight. Just catch and release, reel them in. That's what gets me going. So,
and when did the content sort of enter into this? I mean, you know, I mean, I could talk fishing with you probably for hours, but you know, YouTube is kind of what brought us together because I'm addicted to YouTube, and a couple of your videos popped up, and I thought it was really, really cool, and I saw you fishing with Sobe. On one of your videos, and big fan of, you know, his and that little crew there, and I thought, okay, you know, if these guys co-sign this young Jacob, I should probably pay attention. And I thought your stuff looked really, really good, and then here's just, you know, a young guy that's obviously grinding a little bit. So tell me kind of how that, the content stuff, kind of interjected in wherever it did.
Yeah, so, I mean, once kind of getting into that, past that high school stage, I started posting quite a bit, just a lot of fish pictures more so at first, you know, like Instagram, just Facebook, whatever, normal stuff. And then it kind of started gaining a little bit of traction from there. One of my really good buddies, John from Mindak, I'm sure you've heard of him before, kind of, I feel like, got a lot of our friend group into the YouTube scene. You know, seeing him, what he does, I think a lot of us kind of wanted to follow in his footsteps. And he was kind of a little bit of a role model, I feel like, for me and a couple other guys that do YouTube now too. So he's like, dude, just throw a video out and see what happens. So I bought a GoPro and I filmed for the first time out in Green Bay, Wisconsin, walleye fishing. And, you know, ever since I've just been posting, trying to post as much as I can, making some content. I wish I could do more, and I wish I had a little bit more skill and time to make some higher quality content, which is my content's kind of a little mix of everything. I feel like some is just throw the GoPro on and, you know, film your day, and some's a little bit more informational, some's a little bit more, you know, humorous content. So it's kind of all across the board. But it's definitely becoming, I feel like, a little bit more serious now. Once you start to gain the attraction and you get a little feedback, you see what people like and don't like, and you try to, you know, make as much content as you can now regarding that. I kind of got a little lucky. I'm not going to lie to you. I had a couple of videos that kind of blew up. So that really helped me get my foot in the door on the YouTube part of things. I had already grown a decent following on like Instagram over the years, just posting pictures, 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 pictures. That's all I ever posted of nice quality fish. And I think people will just like seeing that. And then the YouTube deal, it's kind of, like I said, it's a mix of everything. And I wouldn't say there's one thing that's way better than the other. I think it's with YouTube, you know, if a guy's looking to get into it and start, I think it's all about, you know, where are you in the season? So like for me, as soon as I get somewhere, or as soon as Minnesota fishing opener, as soon as it's hunting opener, I want to try to get a video out as soon as possible. I think just the relevance of a video in the time of the year makes a huge difference. Like nobody wants to watch an ice fishing video in the middle of summer and vice versa. So I think just time of the year and relevance to what's going on really helps grow that audience. And I think where I kind of started my YouTube channel is out in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is a huge place for me. Which we'll get into, you know, where I guide a lot now and is kind of where I might end up living full time and guiding out there. But that's really what kicked it off for me, is that spring walleye run over there, which is absolutely phenomenal. You know, I'm sure pretty much anyone that walleye fishes has heard of the famous Green Bay over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But in your guide business, I mean, because you're a young guy, your timeline travels really fast. I mean, we're talking you're fishing off a dock and now you're building your own brand. You literally have a shingle out. Like there's a phone number to call. You can book this guy for guiding. And so, you know, talk about that a little bit. How did you sort of make that jump? And I'm assuming maybe there was maybe some mentors involved from like a business standpoint, or I'm kind of curious in all those details.
Yes and no. It's not a super crazy story. Unfortunately, you know, just growing up fishing is what I love to do. So I knew I wanted to do something in the outdoors, you know, seeing whether that is, you know, whether it was getting big enough to do social media. Kind of short story, I literally just figured out I wanted to start guiding not that long ago, maybe a year and a half ago or something like that is really when it kind of got on my mind, where I'm like, wow, because I had been working, you know, full-time job for my family business here, just working for my dad at a shop. And I was like, well, I don't really want to do that for the rest of my life. So I was like, well, you know, I'm going to try to get this social media kicked off. It kind of worked out great because I was trying to gain my social media as much as I could, whether it was just being able to do social media full time. And then it kind of was like, well, I could also guide. And that kind of came across my mind. You know, I've been on plenty of guide trips with, you know, me paying other people over the years. And I'm like, well, you know, that it just kind of crossed my mind one day, and I was like, you know, maybe that's the route to go, because I can do best of both worlds there, and I already had the social media building up, so then it was just kind of a game plan to get the ball rolling. And that kind of started last spring for me. So I knew I wanted to start guiding, and I knew I wanted to start guiding in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We've been going over there, same deals, for the last like 8 years now. Since we could pretty much drive, we would make the trek over there. I did actually hire a guide the first time I ever went over there, which was when I was 16 years old. We were just making the drive back every single year and learning more and more and more. And then I'm eventually like, you know, I think with the social media presence, you know, I've been posting YouTube videos out here for the last how many years. You know, I get people that stop me at the launch and they're like, oh, hey, I saw your video, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, you know, it's definitely time where I need to make that leap. And it was kind of a scary leap. You know, you got a lot of time invested. You got a lot of money invested into it. And luckily with the family business, I can still have a backbone to me. You know, I don't need to be a full-time guide, you know, just quit my job and go right into full-time guiding. So, you know, I have that little bit of flexibility that definitely helped out for me, where I could take off 2 to 3 weeks or whatever in the springtime and go over there and fish. So that's where it kind of started last year. The YouTube videos were doing good. We had gained quite a bit of following over the last couple of years, I feel like. And I was like, well, it's kind of now or never, you know? So I put my old boat up for sale, which not an old, but it was a bass boat, because, you know, back home that's all I would do is bass fish all the time in the summertime.
I saw that on your YouTube. You caught a lot of walleyes out of that thing too.
Yeah, I was kind of known as the guy that catches walleye out of this bass boat.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I eventually sold that. I had it up for sale last spring for a while, and then it finally sold in August, and then that's where everything, because I couldn't really do anything guiding wise until I got rid of that boat. You know, that boat on the big water, it's good, but it's just not great, right? There's two seats and there's no windshield, right? A client isn't going to have fun in that boat, ripping across the big water, getting wet, getting bouncing all over the place. So that was kind of my first step into where I am trying to go, was getting rid of that boat. So I eventually sold that boat. And then it was game on for me. It's right. Getting a website built, getting, you know, changing all my YouTube, Instagram, TikTok over to everything that would be directed to my website. I had to get a captain's license. So I have a U.S. Coast Guard captain's license. So you need that for the Great Lakes, you need it for the Mississippi River, anything that's U.S. Coast Guard navigable waters, you need that license for. And then, you know, I was super lucky enough where I had a decent amount following. I started reaching out to a bunch of companies to try to work with, and hopefully kind of a two-way street where they can, you know, sponsor, you know, whatever you want to call it, pro staff or sponsor me, I can get some of their products at a discount or for free. And in return, I can promote it on my social media channels. It helps them out. It helps me get my feet on the ground, where getting all the product I need to be able to actually go out and guide everyone. So I got pretty lucky getting some really awesome companies behind me and working with this year. So it really has been a great start to the season.
And this is really what I thought and what I want to highlight, like, completely, is a young guy has this built-in passion for fishing, hearing how you're grinding, like you're doing this, like you had the vision to do this step by step, incrementally. You know, you saw it, you know, you worked hard to post nice fish pictures and build up a social media following, because, you know, someday that was going to be useful.
Exactly.
You know, maybe you didn't even know at the time what for, but it's like, you know, you got to that point where now it's an opportunity. And, you know, spot on. I'm sure any fishing guide that would ever listen to this would be like, oh man, Yeah, I wish that was like a thing when I was growing up, you know, like being able to work with companies, you know, it's like, you know, and that all factors into, you know, your those first impressions, right? It's like, you know, you want to have nice stuff. You want to be right and tight with your gear. It's so expensive, you know, nowadays. It always has been.
Yeah.
And so anyways, yeah, just trying to celebrate the fact that you're a young guy that really trying to capture your dream here, but you're doing it working hard every step of the way. It doesn't sound like you've skipped any steps whatsoever up to this point. And so, you know, you're kind of off to the races. But what's your current status with your guide business?
We had our first start to the season in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And that started in basically the first week of April is when I got there this year, which I got there actually a little bit late. Just getting everything together took a little bit longer than we had hoped for. So got the boat all rigged up. Everything was good to go. All the insurance, the fishing this year, unfortunately, was a little tougher. It's actually one of the toughest seasons I've ever witnessed out there. And I talk to and communicate with, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 different guides or, you know, locals. A lot of them are guides. And unfortunately, everyone was saying the same thing, and it was just a very tough year. So that was an unfortunate part, kind of a tough start to the guide business because the fishing was not as good as it should be or can be for the most part. But we still caught, you know, fish every single trip. We had to definitely put in the work, put in the extra miles on the boat, you know. We had to move around a lot more, try a lot more baits to get these fish to go. But everyone had a really great time. You know, everyone with fishing, everyone has a different expectation, right? You know, you and being a guide, you get everything from I've never casted a rod before to I fish every day. So you definitely have to be super flexible as a guide and be able to cater to everyone's needs. And I learned that a lot over that first 3 weeks that I was guiding in Green Bay, which is phenomenal. You know, some guys, they come out, they're like, oh, I've been fishing my whole life. I only want to catch a 30 incher, you know? So, you know, the pressure's on then trying to get those guys that one big fish. Obviously everyone knows a 30 incher isn't something that comes by every day.
Yeah.
And then there's people that just, you know, they catch a, you know, two or three fish, and they're just the happiest campers ever, which is awesome. But I think everyone that joined me in the boat was really pleased at how it did. I got a lot of positive feedback from everyone, even on the slower fish days. I feel like everyone just loved the, you know, whether it was the fishing gear, the boat, the comfortability, getting to know everyone kind of more on a personal level, just getting a chat, you know, I always hear from guides, once you build your clientele up, it's not like fishing with customers anymore. It's more fishing with friends. So that's kind of how I would love for it to be down the road.
New fishing regulations on Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota have walleye anglers excited to plan your next fishing vacation over there. Check out the lodging options over at Chalet on Mille Lacs. They have all you need and more. I'm talking about multiple private shorelines, including a back channel where you can safely park your boat overnight, a great feature you're not going to find everywhere on the lake. There's also a game room, high-speed Wi-Fi, you're minutes away from the casino and golf course. The indoor and outdoor amenities of the Chalet on Mille Lacs epitomize comfort and convenience with 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, that's 2 masters, a large kitchen, all the indoor amenities that are perfect for large groups or multiple families. This cabin comfortably sleeps 8. You can add more if you like. Read the reviews online from past guests on the website or book directly at chaletonmillelacs.com. That's chaletonmillelacs.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Zuloft Construction from Fargo, North Dakota is your trusted partner when it comes to protecting and enhancing your property, servicing the surrounding area with over 40 years of combined experience. They've built a reputation for delivering exceptional roofing, siding, gutter, and window solutions. with a team of skilled professionals using quality brands and products. That's how they ensure lasting results. To sum it up, Zuloft Construction is committed to exceeding customer expectations. If you want an appointment for a free estimate, check out Zuloft Construction at their website, zuloftconstruction.com, or call them at 701-630-0197. All those contacts are in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast. Hiring guides earlier in life, you talked about that. Like you know, you haven't been scared to go places and hire a guide, but you've been an angler your whole life. I think that's fantastic and probably had an impression on you. You know, you've probably been in some guys' boats that where you could just tell these guys are right and tight. Like these guys know how to fish, but they got everything else dialed too. I bet that was a big influence on you.
100%. Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of the guides I knew, I mean, that's kind of what guiding is. It's almost just sharing information at that point, you know, and that's where it kind of comes back to guys that have never fished before versus guys that fish all the time. You know, sometimes it just pays to go with a guide and learn that information that you would just never be able to figure out, at least not quickly, without hiring someone.
And so what's your plan? Because the openers are like literally basically coming up tomorrow, like Wisconsin is going to their inland walleye season, or, you know, big game fish season is going to open up. Minnesota, you know, is going to be a week after that. I mean, early May. I mean, it's literally like tomorrow. So what do you got planned, or what's kind of your idea for that part of the season? Where do you go? What's kind of your, I mean, you booking trips all over, you go where the clients are, or do you kind of plan on setting up shop in a specific location?
So yeah, that's kind of the thing I've got to, I have decided what I'm going to do this year, and then going forward, it may change, you know, just kind of getting into this. So, right now, all my guided trips are destination trips, for the most part, right? I still live in southern Minnesota here. And obviously the fishing is just not the greatest. I don't plan on guiding here at all. So this year, what we're kind of doing and what the plan was when I initially started, I knew I wanted to guide, was to do destination trips. So I wanted to do Green Bay because that's just a huge destination run. It's phenomenal fishing. Everyone knows about it. So that was kind of set in stone for this early spring, you want to call it. And then the plan was to do a destination trip in Minnesota for Minnesota opener, which we're going to be up on Mille Lacs Lake doing guided trips for the first couple months of the year. Just kind of on and off as people want to do trips. Mille Lacs is like a second home to me almost. I fish that lake all the time in the summer. I pretty much go up every single weekend that I ever could, or even, you know, take a couple weeks off and go fish up there early in the spring. So we have that lake very, very dialed in. You know, I'm trying to stay on lakes and bites that I know very well to have good success with clients. And obviously that's the end goal. So this year it's going to be Mille Lacs Lake for trophy smallmouth, which is like pre-spawn in May. And then they start spawning in June. We'll fish that. And then all the walleye fishing, obviously it's phenomenal walleye fishing out there. And then after that, we're going to be doing some trips up in northern Minnesota, like Bemidji, Grand Rapids, kind of all that northern Minnesota section for muskies. I really want to get into the muskie guiding. We have very phenomenal luck with muskie fishing. I got into it the last few years, and we've had very, very good success for the fish that, you know, people consider the fish of 10,000 casts. You know, we're generally encountering a fish every outing that we go on, whether we catch it or we see a couple, get a couple to follow. who've had very good success over the last few years doing that. So I really want to get into that a lot. And kind of my game plan is to book off or take off and go up to these destinations for a few weeks during the hottest times of the year. So for me, it's kind of like a half-time or three-quarter time fishing job until I kind of get my foot where I want to go. I want to just see how this year kind of plays out for me and then maybe, you know, set up camp somewhere particular after that. So we're just kind of fishing the hottest bites available right now. So Mille Lacs, northern Minnesota, and then in the fall time, we'll be pretty much, I'll actually go out to Green Bay for a few weeks again. They have what's called, what the locals call Hoggest out there. And it's just, you can catch giant muskie, giant trophy walleyes are phenomenal in August out there. So I expect that to be really good and probably fill up with quite a few customers again. And then late into the fall, the Mississippi, that whole Mississippi all the way from Pool 2 down to Pool, you know, Pepin area is a fairly close run for me. And that's just a phenomenal fishery with giant walleyes with, I mean, realistically not a ton of pressure. There's the amount of river there is, the amount of people that fish out there is not that much. So it provides some very, very big walleyes, which is, you know, I would say more local to a lot of people as well, you know, with the Twin Cities, you know, not far from that at all.
Yeah, you got a big vision and you're going to tackle it. And, you know, it'll evolve naturally. You mentioned, you know, the season you just came off of over there on the tributaries of Green Bay, and that it was maybe a little bit of a tougher spring. If you're down to talk about that a little bit, like, you know, how would you sort of describe it being a little bit tougher? Just tough to get them to bite, maybe not as many fish, maybe the conditions weren't like super favorable consistently. I'm just sort of curious to maybe take a little bit more of a deep dive into, you know, your day-to-day this past season, both guiding and then, and even just fun fishing on yourself. Like what were some of the interesting elements, to your decision-making, things that you were observing, you know, just some of those, the more difficult days. Like, I mean, we could talk about the great days, you know, all the time. Like, that doesn't really help anybody. I actually like it when people talk about things being a little bit tougher. I think it's a more interesting conversation. So entertain me a little bit with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of how it started out there this year, you know, I have a really good network of friends out there and other guides and everything. So I think just that alone is so valuable. So, you know, I was hearing from a lot of guys that were, you know, the bite's just been tough. The bite's been tough. And I hadn't got out there yet. And I was like, what? That doesn't even make sense. You know, like that it's almost unheard of that the spring bite out there is tough or slow. So I was like, what the heck's going on? And then I got out there and, you know, being me, I've been fishing out there 8 years now. I'm like, okay, I mean, I know I can go out and catch fish. Like, it shouldn't be a problem. Right. And, you know, you go out, we found schools of, you know, the pods of walleyes out there are massive, right? They come up in basically waves up onto these big massive sand flats, and then they eventually spawn up on these or run into the tributaries, but they stage up on the sand flats first before they do that. And we were scanning, you know, and fishing over pods of literally hundreds, if not like 1,000 walleyes drifting over them, casting on them. And like, I mean, I know they're there. My side scan's loaded up, you know, live scope perspective mode. There's always fish on the screen, and you just, you know, your jig's going right by them, and you just couldn't get them to bite. I mean, there was days where we would drift through like 500 walleyes and you'd pluck like 2 fish off. I mean, it was just insane. And like, I've never in my life have seen it like that. And that was just the story. Like, I mean, that was everyone's story. There was no problem finding the fish at all. It was getting them to bite. And kind of everyone thought it was due to, the cold fronts. We had super, super, super inconsistent weather out there this spring, which normally can make things a little tough, just like anywhere, but it's normally not to that extent, right? Like normally at one point, those fish are going to fire up. Whether it's you get like a 48 hour of real nice stable weather, stable pressure, you know, it stays sunny or stays cloudy or the same wind direction. It didn't really seem to matter for them, for the fish anyways. And it was just, it was like that almost the whole time. And what I eventually figured out and what I think it was, due to was a very large abundance of bait. So I think like last fall, there was a massive bait hatch out on the bay, and it basically just, you know, it's no different from like Mille Lacs when they have a massive perch hatch out there that the walleyes just, they don't care anymore. You know, they got an unlimited buffet of real food. They don't really need or want to bite anything else. You hear about that all the time where there's huge bait hatches in these places and then everything's just lockjaw basically.
One thing that gets said around here a lot, you know, and it's definitely in a reminder, I think, for even avid anglers, but like, you know, case in point right there, where the types of lakes or reservoirs or rivers, the types of ecosystems that are good for growing big fish don't always mean that they're good for catching a lot of fish. Like you're going to have to go through those, take those lumps, because that's what it takes to grow big fish is great bait.
That's 100%.
You know, it takes those conditions. So, you know, I find that interesting because you're right. You know, like social media, like open water season, those of us mere mortals that can't be on the water every day or go on a destination trip every year, it's like we live vicariously through our Instagram. We rely on you guys to go out and post a big fish a day.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like we only ever see the highlights, but I like that little bit more, you know, candid conversation that, you know, even on, you know, premier body of water, you know, arguably the best time of year, like, you know, yeah, like they aren't always jumping in the boat. You know, it's like, I thought if you had live scope in your boat, like the fish just jumped in the live well. Yeah. It was just that simple.
Right. Yeah. I wish.
So what were some of the things you were doing in the boat? What were some of those kind of greasy fishing conversations you were either just having in your own head or having with other fish heads? Like, What were some of the tips and tricks that were getting passed around that seemed like they produced a bite here or there? You know, I'm just curious about any of it.
Yeah, I think it was all about just adaptations, trying new things every single day. I think really what got a lot of our bites in the boat, obviously, like your normal stuff that works every day. I always had a guy throwing, right? Just in case, like, hey, they all of a sudden want to just bite the normal thing. But we were throwing a lot of different stuff this year. Like, for instance, just kind of like normality out there is hair jigs. Hair jigs work phenomenal out there. They feed on gobies. So we just slowly crawl these hair jigs across the bottom. You literally barely move them. It's almost weird. Everyone that comes over from fishes from like Minnesota, they just get like mind boggled how I tell them how they have to fish these baits, because it's just, you don't really fish like this anywhere else. We're literally, you leave your rod exactly where it is and you just reel like half cranks. You're like, what are you doing? It's I'm telling you, if you know you see all these guys ripping their rods all over the place, and it's just, they don't want that. They just want this little tear jig barely darting around like on the bottom like a goby does, because that's all I do out there is I just pin these gobies to the bottom of the lake. So just trying to imitate that as best as you can, and they're not like fast darting, they're just whatever, swimming around on the bottom real slow. But this year, you know, when that wasn't working, I'm coming from a bass guy, I absolutely love just to throw the most random absurd stuff that I can find in my tackle box. Like you know, a spinner, you know, not that I threw a spinner bait, but I'm like, hey, I'll go throw a spinner bait for a walleye. I don't care. I've caught hundreds of walleyes on chatterbaits in southern Minnesota before. Not necessarily that I tried it on purpose, but walleyes will eat like literally anything you throw at them. It's pretty crazy. And I think that's a big part of why we are successful, is because we are trying things that a lot of people aren't trying. But some things we did when hair jigs weren't working, we threw some of those brand new Berkley finishers at some of these fish, which is like considered a fairly aggressive bait. It's supposed to kind of like take over like the jig and wrap style. It's not quite as aggressive, but that's kind of what it was supposed to imitate when they came out with them. And we were like popping these things pretty good. And man, they just, they were coming unglued on them all of a sudden, and you couldn't get them to bite on literally anything else. There was one day where I had a boat full of clients and every single one of us had finishers on, and I had a, like one guy, I just started out with finisher. Like I'm normally the guy in the boat that's throwing the random stuff to see if it works.
You're trying to figure it out. Right. Yeah,
exactly. I'll have my guys throw the normal good stuff, and then I'll throw some random stuff on, and be the test dummy basically. So I threw a finisher on, and I literally got hit the first three casts. I'm like, no way. And there's just, you know, fish all over the screen down there. So I'm like, all right, here, try this. Boom, he catches one right away. I'm like, all right, I have one on. We both have one on. Boom, we plucked two more. I'm like, all right, everyone, throw these on. And there we go. It was just, it was lights out, and we were catching them left and right on the Berkley finisher. And I had a bunch of other guides out on the bait, and they weren't catching anything. And it was just that one bait that was just going nuts for us, and that's what was working. Cadence is a huge thing out there too, just – having that perfect cadence to get that fish to bite, whether it's, I think it kind of came down to more of a reaction style bite. I think since these fish weren't that hungry, you had to, you know, force feed them. You had to trigger something in them to get them to go. We actually, one day, same deal. We were throwing our hair jigs, throwing our swim baits, throwing our ripping wraps. We were getting a few bites, and I'm like, all right, I'm throwing a Mega Bass Vision 110 jerk bait. Like that's unheard of out there for the most part. Cause a lot of these fish, they don't come up and eat during the daytime necessarily. At night, they'll come up and eat cranks normally. But, I was ripping that thing. It was flat, calm, sunny out, and I was jerking it. Like it was 80 degrees in the summer, just absolutely ripping that thing back, and two casts in, crunched. And we weren't catching anything, you know, anything on anything else. And all of a sudden, one of my other guys was throwing one, and boom. And all of a sudden, we're all throwing jerk baits.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting patterns together, but, you know, in novelty form, it's like you might try that even just assuming it's the wrong thing, but how much fun would it be to catch a nice one, like just one this way? And then all of a sudden you're like putting a legit pattern together and you can take advantage of that from a guiding perspective. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's one thing I really love to do. I like to think outside the box. And I think that's what makes me, you know, the angler that I have become, is because I do like thinking outside the box. I'm the type of guy where I'll be hammering walleyes on a lure, and I go, I wonder if I can catch them on this, or I wonder if I can catch them on this. I'll literally throw other things just to see if I can get them to bite on that, even if it means catching less fish. At least me personally, it might not be, you know, my clients or other buddies that do that, but that's just what I love to do.
Yeah, man, you never know what you're going to learn, but it's just builds your confidence too, right? It's like,
yeah, confidence in fishing is probably one of the most important aspects of fishing, in my opinion. Just having the confidence that you can go out and use something and not be like, gosh, am I going to catch something on this? So I think just going out, having the mindset that it might not work and being okay with it, and trying is everything. You're never going to become a better angler if you don't try.
So, I love it, man. What would be like a good closer here? Do you have any maybe some ideas for some of the walleye bites after the opener? Maybe, you know, a little forecasting.
You know, it's all pretty, I would say, pretty typical for a, you know, most people, how they're going to approach it. I feel like as a walleye guy, you know, look for those warm water pockets. It's always huge when it's, you know, early on in the year, whether it's you get a big north blow and then now that south shoreline, all that warm water that was sitting on top blows down there. Sometimes that can be a phenomenal opportunity to get a bunch of bait fish stacked up in there. And then obviously all your walleyes follow. If you're fishing super, super clear water lakes, if you can find any sort of dirty runoff, if we've gotten any rainfall, any rivers running into the system at all, some of that dirtier water pockets plays a huge role in catching fish on some of those clear lakes. And then just in general, you know, the ice is just coming off some of these really northern Minnesota lakes, and some of these fish are just getting done spawning. Some probably still have yet to spawn. But just being around any sort of moving water in the springtime this time of year is a very, very important. If you have a lake that has an inlet or an outlet, there's a very high chance there's some walleyes lingering around that area. So that's definitely one of my first spots that I normally hit on any lake is going to be inlets and outlets. And I feel like that's what a lot of people do, generally speaking, too, in the early springtime.
You know, if you're on social media, you probably get questions or something like that. Do you ever feel like you got any like common or reoccurring questions that come to you that you're always answering that we could address right here?
Not necessarily, no, other than people wanting to know exactly where I'm fishing. No, not necessarily. I mean, just kind of as the, it's still early for me. So I got a lot of things to figure out still, you know, which path I want to go down. And I think it's, we're just going to kind of play it by ear and see. I think it's going to, the path is going to pave itself. You just got to follow it kind of deal, I think is where we're at right now. So just having the opportunity, the flexibility to be able to go out and travel all of these places, make content everywhere. And I think it's just going to set its path on its own to, you know, land me in my final destination and hopefully build a long time career out of it.
You promoting your content, promoting yourself, you know, your socials, how people can find you and get a hold of you, anything that you want to promote, throw it out there.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. I guess just to anybody else out there listening and, you know, maybe looking to start a career in this, is just try to get your name out there as much as you can, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and then just, you know, don't be afraid. Just take that leap, you know. You're never going to succeed if you don't try. And I think that was my biggest mindset going into this, is you're never going to succeed if you don't try.
There it is. Jacob Sweary,